This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Crack, I think that was Niall Bromley coming down the chimney there. This is the Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport. Sunderland obviously without a game this weekend. So there is hope, there is cheer, there's festive cheer, because there's nothing to moan about today. There's nothing to be upset about. Phil Parkinson is still in a job. Sunderland haven't extended the reign where he's not won a game in charge of the club. Of course, two wins since he took over. But we're not going to need to talk about that. We are going to be happy. It is Christmas. And if you'd like to join the debate, 0208 70 20 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Sunderland Fan Show. We are going to be reflecting on the past year being a Sunderland fan, the past decade being a Sunderland fan, and looking ahead to a massive game against former boss Phil Parkinson. Current boss, former Bolton boss Phil Parkinson, of course. It is Sunderland v Bolton on Boxing Day. What a game that will be. Bolton, of course, getting a huge victory against Southend this weekend to reduce the deficit between the two. Now, they have closed the gap. It is just 2 points at the bottom of League One. There's still around 12 points adrift of MK Dons, and survival still looks unlikely for the Trotters. But I tell you what, they are making one heck of a fist of it. Right, Niall Bromley, how the devil is one? Great to have you on the show.
Good, mate. I'm good. I tell you what, I'm looking a little bit like Santa Claus at the minute with my beard. Like, I've got a bit of a long beard going right now, so mate, you I can probably make a bit could come down the chimney.
You could make a bit of extra cash, chuck on a red suit, and you're good to go.
I probably could. I might look into that, to be honest with you. Well, maybe it's a bit late now, but maybe it's for next year, like. We'll think about it.
Well, mate, it is not all doom and gloom at the moment, of course. The show has been a little bit downbeat, I suppose, in the past few weeks. But hey, massive news this week. It looks like Luke 09 has extended his deal. He is going to stay at the Stadium of Light.
Yeah, he wants to. Yeah, he's. I think he's always been quite keen to get a deal done. So, obviously, we're all delighted with that. We know Matt, we love him, so you know it's fantastic that he's done that, and he's a great player. He's only getting better as well, so that's the main thing with him. Hopefully he can carry on. I mean, we're not quite sure what his position is yet, but you know, hopefully he can, you know, stay for good for a few more years, find what his position actually is, and just carry on progressing the way he is. And I think we will have a real good player on our hands with him. Well, we already have, but I think he's only going to get better.
I loved what he said as well, to be fair. You know, he said, a great place for me, the facilities, the stadium, the fan base, the potential of where we could go. I love it. Why wouldn't I want it to continue? And that's the key thing, right? The potential of where this club can go. We know where it's been. We know where it is right now. But where can this club go, Niall?
I mean, to be honest, it's a tough one. I think the club can get back to where they were, but personally, I don't think that's going to happen for a good 5 years minimum, if I'm being honest. I personally think it'll be longer than that. I think Stuart Donald has got a plan in place. He's obviously waiting to see what happens with the investment and things. He's got something there. I think he knows that it's not going to be done. It's not going to be the case if we're going to be in the Premier League in 2 years' time, and even 3 years' time. I think it's going to be a slow process. Hopefully not as slow as what it has been at Leeds, because I think they're 15 years now, I think, down there. Without, yeah. Yeah, 15 years without Premier League football. I'm hoping it's not that long, but you never know. The way the club is at the minute, it wouldn't surprise me if that's how long it took. But you know, we'll see what happens at the end of the day. It is what it is. Well, we're where we are because we deserve to be where we are. But, you know, you never know what will happen. Maybe Charlie White will start firing and, you know, we'll push up the leagues. But I can't see it for the foreseeable anyway.
Well, in terms of where you are right now, like you said, 6 points adrift of those playoff places. But in a weekend where you've not played a game in League One, results actually were okay for Sunderland. 6 of the top 7 failing to win yesterday. Of course, Wickham with only their second defeat of the season. Ipswich with a dreadful result away at Portsmouth. And Coventry with the only team in the top 7 to actually get a win yesterday. So, results weren't bad with you not playing.
Yeah, no, they were good. Yeah, obviously I followed that yesterday. They were good. But, you know, the thing is that seems to happen to us quite a lot when we are playing, but we also get a bad result. You know, it seems to be, oh, well, you know, this could have really been an opportunity because, like you say, Ipswich might have a draw or you know, Wigan might have a draw, which has happened over the last 3 weeks, and we've not sort of taken advantage of it. But, I mean, to be honest, Matt, Ipswich and Wigan are well away from us. I don't think they're any concern. We need to now look at the likes of Bristol Rovers, Doncaster, you know, the playoff teams, Blackpool, Coventry. That's where we need to look. We can't be looking any higher than that because we're not going to get any higher than that. We're too far behind now. You know, we've resigned to that. We're not going to go up automatically, which is obviously a shame because that is what the aim was, but, you know, that's not going to happen. So we need to look at the playoffs. And, yeah, like you say, we're 6 points off. We do have a game in hand on a few teams, so hopefully, fingers crossed, we can pull the results together and maybe bring a few new faces in January, which can, you know, tweak the team and push the team on a little bit more. But at the minute, like I say, I think every single Sunderland fan, you know, we're resigned to the fact that if we are going to go up, it's going to be a push for the playoffs rather than automatic. And we don't win the games at Wembley, so, you know, it's not great for us. We've got a terrible record there, but you never know. It's something to kind of to push for. But, I mean, a couple of defeats, Matt, a couple more defeats, you know, and it might be the other way. You know, it might be fighting relegation, by the way we're looking at it. Yesterday, I mean, it would have took a big swing because of goal difference with Burton and teams like that, but we could have actually have ended up 17th yesterday if results had gone the other way. Luckily, they didn't, but that was mathematically possible, which is scary.
Which is unthinkable, Niall. I mean, it is absolutely unthinkable. And we'll focus on Bolton now because we're talking about League One and a great win for them yesterday against what is an abysmal Southend United side. Let's not beat around the bush. Bolton now on 5 points. They started on minus 12. Keith Hill is doing the business there. Listen, they're a long way off. They are 15 points from safety, 12 points away from MK Don to occupy that last spot in the relegation zone. But a massive win for them against Southend. There is so much on this clash on Boxing Day. Phil Parkinson has come out and quite rightly said no one, absolutely no one, will accept anything other than victory against Bolton. In terms of must wins, I know we're only at Boxing Day and I know we keep saying Phil Parkinson will have to get to January because that's what he was promised. That's what he needs to remodel this Sunderland side to be his Sunderland side. But if he loses against Bolton, well, that writing will be etched, ingrained on that wall, surely.
Well, yeah, because he's done that himself by saying that, though, hasn't he? I mean, why would he come out and say that? It's a bit of an own goal. Do you not think, Matt? It's, you know, what's he saying that for? Like, we played Bolton earlier in the season at the Macron. And is it the Macron still? Is that still what we're calling it?
It's actually, University of Bolton? That's correct, Niall. Yes, the University of Bolton Stadium.
the University of Bolton. Yeah, it changes quite often, doesn't it? But, yeah, the University of Bolton Stadium. We played there earlier in the season. You know what it is? I think, correct us if I'm wrong, I think that was the first show we did was after that game. And we...
The one-all draw, you mean?
Yeah. It was the one-all draw, yeah. And we were outplayed and we were snatched a point with a penalty in the last minute. And Bolton deserved to win that game. They were the better team. And that was, you know, that was just after the transfer window. So that I think they made 9 signings or something like that. But like said, Darryl Murphy wasn't playing. I think he just... he was just getting the fitness and things like that. And he's a goal machine. We know that at Sunderland because we've had him here ourselves. So, you know, I don't think it... For Phil Parkinson to come out and say that, after the performances we've had in the last sort of 10 games and all competitions, I think that's a bit of a ridiculous statement to make because, you know, we haven't been great. We've not been good. We were improved last week against Blackpool, but we still weren't excellent. You know, we didn't create enough chances. Yeah, we hit the crossbar and we had a few half chances, but we didn't create enough. And I think Bolton will come to the stadium right. There's no pressure on Bolton, Matt. They're not, you know what I mean? Like, they're not scared because everyone's expecting them to get relegated. So they're just going out with no pressure on them. And, you know, and they've got some good players. Liam Bidcutt's in that team and Luke Murphy's a good player. They haven't nowhere near got the worst team in that league. As you said about Southend, right, they probably have. But, you know, Bolton have a good side, and they play good football as well. And they've got a good manager who's very experienced in this league. So, you know, I don't think that's an easy game. I think they're going to come on Boxing Day. They're going to be very organised, as Keith Hill teams are. They're going to want to play the ball, and they're going to make it difficult for us. Maybe they'll defend. That probably is what they'll do. They'll probably think they'll come in and defend and go for the draw, which would be a fantastic result for them. But they also probably think we can nick it, yeah, because Sunderland aren't that good of a team. So he's probably thinking we can nick it. I don't think that this is an easy game at all. And in fact, I'm quite concerned about it in a sense. I can see us not winning the game.
Mate, feel like you've just talked to us. You've just talked yourself around to a defeat there. It's unbelievable. And you're right. Listen, the team and themselves, Bolton, they're getting better. There's still a massive flaws. Of course, they were soundly beaten by Accrington, I think it was, recently, brought right back down to earth. But is it a bit of extra spice as well? Will Buckley not really playing at the moment. Liam Bridcutt, ex-Sunderland. Daryl Murphy, like you mentioned, ex-Sunderland. These are players who are going to be in that dressing room knowing what it's like to be a Sunderland player, being able to get into these lads and how there is so much pressure. And we talk about, you know, dropping down near relegation. Sunderland, I mean, you did drop a space, I think, to 13th, which is the lowest you've ever been. And that just keeps happening. So the more that these stats keep coming in and the players keep hearing these stats, these figures, it's going to get harder. It's going to get more pressurised.
Of course. And if we do feel the win on Boxing Day, I mean, it's just this Bolton game is just coming at the wrong time. You know, that needs to come sort of late January, early February, when, you know, if he has got money to spend in January, well, nobody's quite sure if he has. It's not, you know, he said that he is going to do business. We don't really know. We've had a few links over the last few days. We're not sure about these links. We're not sure if they're happening, and, you know, there's nothing official. But, you know, I think that's when that game needs to be, because, like I say, it's such a, because it's his former club and because everything they've been through and everybody's expecting this win, you know, it's such a horrible game to have right before the transfer window. You know, I know we've got Doncaster again a couple of days later, but it's a horrible game to have. And if we were to lose, and I mean, I've said to you before, like, it's going to be hard for them to keep him. I think he deserves the transfer window because that's what he was promised, and we'll see what he can do from there. But, I think if he loses at home to Bolton, which I can see happening, I'm not saying it will happen. If I need to make a prediction, I think we will win the game. We should win the game. But it wouldn't surprise me if we lost the game or if we drew the game. And I think the fans will just turn. They'll turn. Matt, we had 46,000 at Boxing Day last year against Bradford. That was only a year ago. You're going to be lucky to have half of that in the stadium right on Saturday.
Yeah.
On Boxing Day. You're going to be lucky to have that.
Indeed you are. No, that is a very good point. Well made. As you always do on this, the Sunderland Fan Show, we've got about 10 minutes to go. We're going to reflect a bit on the past decade and the news that, of course, that new non-executive directors have been appointed to the board this week.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport, our final fan show of 2019. Going out with a bang, you might say. Me, Matt Beadle, with Niall Bromley. We've got about 7 minutes to go. Niall, just before we move on to your highs, your lows of 2019, and your highs, your lows, your thoughts, your feelings about the past decade in the life of Sunderland AFC, let's just quickly chat about the non-executive directors being appointed to the board this week. David Jones, the Sky Sports presenter, of course, and Tom Sloanes, a local businessman. What are your thoughts on this one? If it makes a massive difference at all, or is this just part of the business strategy that these guys were going to come in?
Yeah, I think it makes a difference. I think David Jones is a massive Sunderland fan. He grew up a Sunderland fan. He's it's quite funny because he's actually from Middlesbrough, David Jones. He's from a small village just outside of Middlesbrough, but his dad was best mates with Alan Durbin, who was the Sunderland manager at the time, and he used to be in the press box and stuff with Alan Durbin, and he fell in love with Sunderland through that, and he's always stuck by them. And, you know, if you hear him, he's been with us on Walker Report last year. He did an interview, and he's so passionate, and he loves the club, and he's worked with Stuart Donald before at Oxford, He knows him because he was a director at Oxford as well, so he knows him quite well. And I just think that Donald's thought, you know, we want someone who is experienced and loves the club, and I think he's, I think, you know, it's a right fit. Tom Sloan's is a massive lads fan. I don't know if you know, we'll call Sunderland fans lads fans up here. It's kind of a nickname. So Tom Sloan's is a massive Sunderland fan. He loves the club. You know, he was the one that came with BetDAC and they were sponsoring us last year, and he's a lot to do with them. And yeah, I think it's two people who know the club, who want the club to do well, and you know, the state of the club's in at the minute. I think they're only going to come in, and I think they can only do a good job. So fingers crossed that's what happens.
Onwards and upwards, Niall. Hey, there we go. Onwards and upwards, mate. And listen, like I said, we are at the end of 2019, the end of a decade, which has been quite traumatic, I suppose, if you're a Sunderland fan. If you were to encapsulate the decade, well, it's too difficult to encapsulate the decade, I suppose. If you were to look at your moments of the decade and where Sunderland were, I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. I think, you know, it was the end of 2010 that brilliant victory over Chelsea occurred, when you guys beat them at Stamford Bridge 3-0 that day, to where we are now. What's it been like being a Sunderland fan over the past decade? And if you do have good memories, great wins over Newcastle, of course, in the time Wearside derby, what really sticks out for you?
I mean, there's a few. We you know, we've had a lot of downs at Sunderland, and more so than ups, but the ups really are quite incredible. I mean, for me, you've got, like you're seeing, the wins against Newcastle when we beat them 3-0 at St James's Park. It was the first time we beat them since 2008. And, you know, that was 2013, so that's 5 years after. We beat them 3-0, and we weren't actually that good that day. They were the better team, to be honest. They had a goal ruled out for offside, Papi Cisse, but it was never offside. VAR, we probably would have lost that game had VAR been in place back then. But we scored, you know, David Vaughan hit one, left foot top corner, and were fantastic. And that really stands up. And Paulo Di Canio did the whole knee slide, you know, and it was amazing. And obviously that's a memory that'll live for every Sunderland fan. And we then went on to beat them five times more than that, so we did six in a row against them, and every one of them were just as special, you know. We beat them 2-1 after that with Fabio Barini scoring from 25 yards out top corner at the stadium light. Amazing. We then beat them 3-0 again. Jack Colback, believe it or not, scored the goal and then shushed the Newcastle fans. It was unbelievable. We then beat them at St James's Park the year after, and Adam Johnson, believe it or not, scored. He always used to score against them. He scored in the 89th minute, which was, you know, unbelievable at the time. And then you had the Jermaine Defoe goal, where he scored one of the best goals that you'll
incredible
ever see
strike.
With his left foot. Unbelievable. And you know, and then you've got another 3-0 after that under Sam Allardyce. So all of them wins against Newcastle will be up there. They were all magnificent, every single one of them. But one of the biggest ones for me was, I'll never ever forget, the semi-final at Old Trafford. Well, 1-0 down, we're about to go out, it's at the end of extra time. Phil Bardsley hits this tame shot, which is going straight at De Gea. De Gea fumbles the ball, drops it back of the net, and you see there was 8,000 Sunderland fans at Old Trafford, and the upper tier in the corner going absolutely ballistic. Absolutely, literally, you're looking around, man, there's like grown men in their 50s crying. You know what I mean? Like, it was just sensational. It was absolutely
amazing. It was a bonkers
game,
that, wasn't it? Because didn't United then go up the other end or something and score to keep themselves in the tie, and then it went to penalties and Phil Jones missed. Just a remarkable, remarkable contest, that one.
Yeah, Chicharito scored about 90 seconds after we scored. So we're still buzzing and delighted. And then Chicharito's come, the ball's come to him, and he's hit it, and it's winning off the bar. And we're like, oh my God, you know. And then, it's got the penalties, and it was the worst penalty shootout I think I've ever known. I think I've ever seen. You're a United fan, aren't you, Matt?
Yes, I do like Manchester United. Yes, mate. I do remember that day well.
So, you know, it was, and then Vito Minoni has pulled out a few amazing saves in the shootout, and we've won the game. So, you know, that'll always stick out as a real fun memory. And then, you know, we've got a few random ones after that. I mean, we're 4-0 up against Crystal Palace at half time, and that was their first game under Sam Allardyce after he'd you know, lost the England job and stuff, and then they'd appointed him as about 6 months after that or so, and we played them, we were 4-0 at half time, and that was amazing for Sunderland. That doesn't happen to us, like, not often anyway. So, you know, there's been so many moments and so many, you know, over the last decade, it's hard to believe that where we are now, because I could just reel off so many times. Beating Manchester City on New Year's Day, Xi Dong Wong, last kick of the game. You know, it was offside again. VAR would have ruled that out now, but
took it well though, mate.
The goalkeeper,
he took it well, mate.
He took it well, yeah.
He did, yeah. You know, listen, we could talk. We should have saved the whole section for this. It's been wonderful, mate. It's been great talking to you in 2019. This is our last fan show of the year. You'll be back in 2020. We'll be back in 2020. Look forward to hearing from you then, bud.
Cheers. Thank you, Matt.
That was Niall Bromley there of the Roker Report. And from me, this is it for fan shows from the guys at Arsenal, Chelsea, Palace, City, United, Newcastle, Spurs, Watford, West Ham, to name but a few. We will be back in the new year 2020 with all our fan shows and more. Some new additions to a slightly new schedule that will be released on the website as and when. Look out for it. We'll be mentioning it on Love Sport as well. Happy New Year to everyone. We'll see you in 2020.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.